this psalmist is crying out, and one of his famous verses, verse 1, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. Do you remember that song?
Yes.
You know, it's like he's talking about his hunger. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? You know, this is what this conference is about. And I could even feel when, just through emails from Pam, when she was writing me about this conference, I could tell that there was just this hunger. This is we could just call this Hungry Weekend, right?
Yes.
You know, hungry for God, you know? Yes. And believe me, I love a big ribeye steak or some really good ribs, but this, the hunger we have is like he's talking, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And when can I go and meet with God? But then he goes into this travail. My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One. Remember, this is in a time where to be with God, the presence of God was in a place. Mm-hmm. It was before the Spirit was poured out upon all flesh. It's amazing what you and I have. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the presence of God, and of course God was with them, but they understood that there had to be a place that they had to go. Mm-hmm. Verse 5, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. You know, some people are going to be healed tonight of fatigue. Deep and profound fatigue. People that have fibromyalgia. If there's anyone here, there's an anointing and a presence to bring healing to your body.
Amen.
Just proclaiming what I'm sensing the Lord's going to do. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I'll remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. This is the verse that the Lord gave me for the weekend. Deep calls to deep. Deep calls to deep, the deep things of God. Do you know that in 1 Corinthians, it says that, that 2 Corinthians, I believe, it says that the Spirit of God searches all things, even the deep things of God. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, even searches the deep things of God. So us, we're like a swimming pool, and he's like the ocean, right? And the Spirit searches the deep things of God. So searching us is quite easy. Mm-hmm. But listen to this. This is what's really profound. He knows everything about us, and he still loves us so much.
Yes.
He loves you more than you love you.
Yep.
He loves you more than any other person.
That's right.
He thinks you're adorable. He's excited about you. He celebrates you. He knew you before he formed you. Mm-hmm. Before you were born, he set you apart into your destiny. That's the deep things of God. And so when we're coming into this time, what we want is we want to find out, what does God have to say to the deeper places in us? The places that we don't even understand. The places that are longing for something, but we don't even know what it is. We know we want more of God, but guess what? God wants us to have more of him too. Because he has things in store for us. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and your breakers have swept over me. Listen to this. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I'm going to stop there. I could keep going, but I want to just meditate here. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. I remember there are some people here from Rock Creek Church, and they were a part of the journey with me and with us and learning how to hear God's voice. I was a traditional Baptist pastor for 10 years. And then the Holy Spirit came and ruined my church. And he ruined me. And he ruined us. And once we tasted the Lord's presence like that, and once we saw people with cancer healed, and we heard his voice, we could never go back. But I want to talk about some of those original things, because in this verse about the waterfalls, one of the things that I used to do is I would just, and I still do this in different ways, but as I was learning to hear God's voice, I always had the question is, what's me, what's my imagination, and what's God? Now I want to let you know, I'm going to give you good assurance, you'll never ever totally understand that. When the more succinct and direct a word is, I always like go, really, God? You want me to say that? You want me to do that? I don't want to be a false, you know, a false prophet. I don't want to be, you know, miss or be wrong. Mm-hmm. Imagine I share in the book when the Lord told me to command blessings into the heavens that he was going to bring rain. What do you think? Do you think you're going to enjoy that when you hear that? You think you're crazy. You don't even want to do anything like that. But how do you get to a place where you really trust and hear God? By the way, rain came in 15 minutes. Okay? The story's in the book. But what I want to say is this, is that how do you get to that place of an unconscious confidence? It starts in your closet. It also ends in your closet. It's in your private place with the Lord, because it's a way of life. It's not something you do on one occasion. And so I'm going to mentor you tonight on how to be more intimate with Jesus. You know, when I became a Christian, and I used to tell people this all the time, I would tell people, you need to read the Bible and pray more. Anybody ever heard that?
Yeah.
And if they had a problem, we told them what? Read the Bible and pray. Now, guess what? That's important. But you know what? I never had someone come to me and say, do you know how to encounter and experience God like everybody did in scriptures? Do you know how to hear his voice? Do you know how to see? Do you know how to have visions? Do you know how to experience everything that they experienced in the Bible, in the New Testament? You know, I think we need to tell people, yes, read the Bible and pray. But did you know that the point of reading the Bible and to pray is to experience God? Mm-hmm. We should be telling people, read the Bible and pray so that you know what God sounds like. You got to read his word, by the way. That's why one of the reasons we read his word is we know his written word so that when he speaks to us, then we know what he speaks about. Mm-hmm. For example, the word talks about marriage, right? Is there a verse where you can find where God tells you who to marry? No. Because God speaks about marriage, but he can tell you and give you direction through hearing his voice. So it starts with confidence. So one of the things is, I was starting to hear the Lord, I would close my eyes, and I would ask the Lord, what do you want to do in me right now? What do you want to do in me right now? And often I would see a waterfall. Over and over, I'd see it, I could hear it, I could feel the mist, I could feel the presence. And so when I look at this verse, it's just powerful. I mean, I've been to some very powerful, the waters, the roaring waters, the powerful stirring. And by the way, where the water lands, it's just turning everything up. And there's so much going on and you can't see it. But I would ask the Lord, what are you doing? He says, I'm refreshing you. I'm healing you. I'm stirring up things. I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want to heal. The reason I bring them up is to transform you. How many know that conviction of the Holy Spirit is absolutely wonderful? Mm-hmm. Yes. Condemnation is terrible. Mm-hmm. How do you know if it's God speaking to you? If you feel condemned, that's not God. For therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
But Lord, I need a good spanking, and I'll give it myself one. You know that I believe a lot of people don't even know what conviction of the Holy Spirit is because they're so quick to give their guilt offering when they pray, they haven't even begun to experience God's love. They're just giving their guilt offering. Remember the time when I was hearing the Lord's voice very early on, he says, stop confessing your sin until I convict you. Then I would beg him, and I'd be praying, and I'd be writing and journaling, and I'd say, when are you going to convict me? And it was like he'd say, I'm not sure I am going to right now. Why not? I've done things that are wrong. He says, we got to get this love thing down first. That's what's going to change you and heal you.
That's right.
Doesn't mean, I'm not saying he never convicted me, but when he did, it was like, son, I have so much more for you. I have something better for you. And he'd say, this steals from you. This steals life. This releases death. You know, what we're talking about tonight and this weekend is that, you know, we're not trying to hear a voice. We're trying to know God. You know, if you call someone on the phone and they answer, you go, oh, a voice, this is amazing technology. I guess it was the first time, but. You know, the point is, what is the voice? Whose voice is it? And what is the voice saying? Also in this verse, it says, your waves and breakers have swept over me. What, you know, oftentimes, and by the way, I'm going to refer to this now, I call it journaling. And what I do is I would ask the Lord questions, and I would take out a pen, and I would write it. By the way, the young people, we used to take notes and books and everything in little, you know. But now I do use my phone, and I journaled on the plane today. And I'll journal on my airplane. I mean, I journal on the airplane. I journaled on a computer. And in fact, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to take out your phones. Yes, in church. And I'm sure you have your ringers off. And if you prefer to write on paper, we're going to ask God some questions. We're going to practice together. Because I'm going to release the spirit of wisdom and revelation upon you. So you can know Jesus better. But see, this became a regular part of my quiet time. I would read the word, I would pray the things that, you know, for other people and for things, but then I would write to hear what God was wanting to say to me, and often he would tell me, I'm releasing waves of love over you right now. And so you know what I'd do? I'd put down my pen, I'd put down everything, and I'd say, and I'd get in position, and I'd say, okay, Lord, I'm ready for the wave. And then they'd start coming. And I could often tell by when I started crying, I just started feeling this presence. Could you imagine times where you just would feel so much love, you would have to tell God, I can't handle anymore. Like, no more love! I'm going to burst! What happens if we told you, read the Bible and pray, and learn how to receive God's love so profoundly? Because this is really what we're talking about when we're talking about the voice of God. God, it's not about, you know, just hearing amazing things and becoming known for it. By the way, because I know how to hear God's voice, I can go into any city, any village, any restaurant, everywhere I go, and I know how Papa talks, and I can just all of a sudden speak God's life to anybody. Because I know what he sounds like. But my goal isn't to prophesy. My goal is to just know him and hear him. So that's really what we're about this weekend. He'd say, just receive my love. I'm releasing the ways of love. Let my water flow deep into you. It was to experience him. Why don't you just close your eyes just for a minute right now. I want you just to to think about the fact that God created you and he knows you and he wants to have a deeper place with you. He wants to go to the depths of your heart and speak exactly what you need. So what do? You tell him. You ask him. You say, Lord, what is it that I need right now? What do you want to give to me? Now, when it comes to your mind, just receive it. Okay? Peace. Joy. I want to be free of shame. I'm tired of my shame. Trust again. Lord, show me. I want to open up my heart again. I've been protecting it so long. I've been defending it for so many years. I want a touch in that place. So Father, tonight, I just pray that you will show us exactly what we need and what you want to speak into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Try that every day. Just ask, Lord, what do I need? Just, what do you want? What do you have for me? And it's profound what will happen. What the Lord will do. You know, one of the tenets, the one of our main scriptures, you can turn there, it's Ephesians chapter 1, and it's a prayer, and I'm not going to go through it all today. I'm just going to really go through verse 17. Most of the time we go even on to 18 about the eyes of my heart. How many know you have eyes of your on your heart, though, according to scripture, okay? But I just want to look at verse 17. I want to spend some time here. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I mean, this is an amazing prayer because it's really, you have the Trinity right here. You have the fellowship of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But there's a very important revelation in this verse, is that the Father and the Son have sent the Holy Spirit, and Jesus prophesied this and declared it in John 14. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. We're going to look at this tomorrow. But he's going to be your counselor. One of the words is advocate. The Greek word is paraclete. I'm kidding, it's paraclete. And the word means that he's going to be with you by your side, and it's like a lawyer defending you when needed. He'll stand before you and behind you. He'll be with you. And in fact, Jesus said he's called the Spirit of Truth, and he'll be in you. And so there's something that's happened in even in traditional churches where we are, where we're continually looking to the Father and to the Son, but we're not understanding the role of the Holy Spirit is to reveal the Son and the Father. Yeah. And so you have to understand the Holy Spirit. And earlier, the woman that came up, Ellen, speaking about the wind, when Jesus compared the wind to the Spirit, he actually said, so it is the person who's in the Spirit. This is in John. He was saying, you're like the wind, not the Spirit. But you're like the wind because you're in the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Because you're so moving in the Spirit, you're flowing in what the Spirit does. And the Spirit is leading you. So we have to get to know the Son and the Father, yes. But we have to know and understand the role of the Holy Spirit within us. And he's praying here, Paul is, that you'll have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, what does that mean? Like, wisdom of God. How many have ever prayed for the wisdom of God? Right? And it's important. Wisdom is not only knowing what God wants us to do, it's having the application. Wisdom. The wisdom here, though, is not just having smarts or having good insight and knowing what to do. It's God's perfect wisdom. But here it's an and it's very important. It's wisdom and revelation. I believe that where there's no revelation, I do not believe there's wisdom. Because even it says in Proverbs, without vision, the people perish. The Hebrew word there is without revelation, the people run amok. That's really the direct translation. Without revelation, the people do what they want to do. They go in circles. Wisdom and revelation go in hand in hand. And God will give you so much wisdom as you learn to pray and seek for revelation. This is what James said. He said, ask God for wisdom, right? And he says, but he must have faith that he will receive it. That faith is activating. And guess what? When Jesus said to his disciples, apostles, who do you say that I am? And Peter began to confess. In Matthew 16, he began to confess, you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. And he's saying it to him, and he says, that was revealed to you. That's revelation. You know, the Greek word here for revelation is to uncover to unmask something. So in other words, God wants you to pray for a spirit of wisdom and to see things you can't see right now. Mm-hmm. I always like to tell people, if you knew what to do that would really change your life, you'd already be doing it. If you really had revelation. So like unmasking, and what I'm talking about, this experience, deep calls to deep, is that, you know, people can tell you with their head, I know God loves me. How many can say, I know God loves me? Okay. How many are overwhelmed with too much love? Okay. A couple hands went up. Why? Because it's revelation of his love. Revelation of his love. And, you know, as an early Christian, I was 18 years old, and I was living a double life. It was hard. I was of the world. I actually had two girlfriends. One was Christian and one wasn't. And they had the same name. This is confession. I mean, I was I was really new in the Lord. And so I got, you know, caught, and my Christian girlfriend confronted me and I believe broke up with me. It's probably the best word. And I went into my room, my dorm room, and I cried out to God, and I said something to him. I'll never forget it. I said, God, you don't know what it feels like to sin. Jesus, you don't know. You know, you never sinned. You were on earth without sin. And suddenly, it was like, that's one of my most vivid first visions I ever had. I saw Jesus on the cross. And I saw blood going down his brow. I saw the blood and the tears merge on his face. And suddenly, I felt one of those tears fall on my face. And he said, I felt every sin. I I know what sin feels like. But then he said this, I love you so much. I would do this for you. I felt God's love so strongly that I can genuinely tell you I have never struggled with that since that day. Ever. That's revelation.
Yes.
And it really, more than anything, motivated me. I actually went on a six-month fast from Davey and set myself apart to live a holy life and to change my life because I was so loved. You see, when deep calls to deep, there's this places in us that the words are not enough from our minds. It's the word of God, when God speaks to us, that we can have the shift. You see, what we're asking God for is we're asking God to give us revelation, to show us what God's heart is. See, look, what does it say in that verse? It says, to know him better. How many know that the Holy Spirit wants to lead our relationship? Where's Chris? I didn't know I was going to talk about you tonight. Chris is a long-term friend. Got a brother here too, Steve, and a lot of many friends. And Chris was a part of this journey. He worked at Intel. Him and we went to a meeting, and my wife, he didn't ask me to go up and get prayer. He asked my wife, and they both went up forward to get prayer while I was watching everybody, wondering if this was real. I want to know why everybody was acting so weird. People were falling down. People were making weird noises. Just ticked me off. And then I looked and both of them went down on the ground. And Chris was on the floor like a bug, going like this. And my wife was on the floor. Oh, I was so bugged. I have a class, by the way, that we have in Kenya. It's 30 ways to know if you're a Pharisee. So I stewed on it. We had gone on vacation. I said to my wife, I said, all right, the Bible says, you know, test it by the fruit. What was the fruit of you falling down? She was now on trial. She goes, you know, that list I told you of how I feel like I can't win and how I feel guilty and ashamed. She gave me, had shown me a list of 30 things that she carried. Ways that she felt she'd failed people, been inadequate as a pastor, as a mother. She said, Jesus came to me and he told me, I've always loved you. I've always loved you. She had her first vision. And all he said was how much he loved her. Always be with her. And she said, guess what? The list is gone. Mm-hmm. Huh. That's revelation. Mm-hmm. Chris, you fell on the floor. You looked ridiculous. You were slobbering everywhere. It was pathetic. In other words, I was telling him. Mm-hmm. What was the fruit? He said, this is the first time I felt like God is leading our relationship, and I want him to lead the rest of my life. Okay. You see, that's what revelation does. It shifts things. See, he wants to lead you into the deep things, not necessarily just of you, because that's wonderful, but he wants to really lead you into the deep things of him. Because the more you become like him, in fact, 2 Corinthians 3 tells you that as you meditate on his glory, you are transformed into his likeness. And you go from glory to glory. That's 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Oh, 17 is, now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. One translation says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, the heart is set free. How many want that?
Amen.
So the Spirit reveals who God is and who we are, as well as who we are to become. And then prophecy to me is just an extension of what we are able to hear on our own. You know, I'm going to China in October. By the way, it's not too late. I could take a couple more. What will we do? We will go under the auspices of the government church, and we will train and raise up people in the prophetic. And we will bring a shift in that nation. We're not visiting China. We're shifting. They said last time we went, it was like we threw a match on a wildfire. It just spread through the region, the prophetic movement. Then I'll be going to Israel doing the same. You're welcome to go to that too. Any of the trips we take people to the nations. And I love how you go to Haiti and you're praying for all those in the wake of Irma too. Mm-hmm. So tonight, I'm going to ask you to make a decision. Maybe in part have made it, but I want you to make a decree tonight. And I want you to just kind of repeat some of the things that I say, and if you don't want to say it, that's fine. But I want you to really grab onto this. First, I want to know Jesus better.
Jesus.
Did you mean that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right. I want to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
I want
a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
I want it.
I want it.
I want to move in it.
I want to move in it.
This is really important. This literally could change your life, shift your entire life. By the way, it's not replacing prayer and reading the Bible. Yeah. It's in addition to. Mm-hmm. It's a part, it's a dimension that we need. Repeat this one. I'm not going to be afraid of it.
I'm not going to be afraid of it.
I'm not going to reject it.
I'm not going to reject it.
I'm not going to base my understanding on what I know. My knowledge is not my limit.
My knowledge is not my limit.
I want to have the mind of Christ.
I want to have the mind of Christ.
I want him to open up my heart.
I want him to open up my heart.
I want to see with the eyes of my heart.
I want to see with the eyes of my heart.
I want his wisdom.
I want wisdom.
I want revelation.
I want revelation.
I renounce the lie that I can't hear God.
I renounce the lie that I can't hear God.
In fact, I declare I will hear God clearly.
I declare I will hear God clearly.
Tonight I make a decision. That I will learn how to hear God's voice. And I won't stop until I do.
I
won't stop then either, but... You see, it's the first step. Is it going to be a priority? Is it something that you're going to make as an essential part of your life? So let's go deeper now. What causes us to hold back from seeking revelation? Why don't we more? I have the privilege of asking God over the years specific questions and getting more and more specific answers. One of the hindrances was fear of hearing incorrectly. Maybe sometimes we have the fear of hearing correctly. One time I was journaling, I said, "Lord, how do I know I'm not making all this up? This is so specific." He says, "All right, tomorrow Intel stock will close down like 35 cents at this price." So you should have seen me the next day by the computer. It closed to the penny. I said, "Lord, why would you do that?" You know what he told me? And I had no clue of it then, because I was just really new in this. He said, "How will you speak over cities and nations if you won't believe me for small things?"
That's true. It's true.
You don't just wake up and all of a sudden you're getting words for nations when you haven't even learned how to hear a word for yourself. I have amazing stories that I'm here, but when I've had words for nations, I literally had government buses waiting for me, picking me up, taking me right to the mayor's office of a city of 2 million, like Zambia. I've had amazing experiences, but it doesn't start there, and it doesn't even end there, because my goal isn't these high things. It's hearing God and getting revelation, because I just want to know him better, and I want to be in his will.
Amen.
But guess what? He wants to use you.
Right.
Why is it that God chooses to use us? Jars of clay. He wants to give you revelation. He's eager. So what are the hindrances? Well, I started to do it. Fearing of hearing incorrectly. Shame, inadequacy. Unbelief. You know, if you ask God to show you his love, you know, is there potential for deception? Yes, there is. Is there a potential for you to have an idol in your heart and you just want something so bad you think you can hear it? Yeah. But guess what? You're going to learn how to hear his voice. And every day you're going to say, "Hey, I know how to test what I hear. I know what my papa sounds like." And when you have a question, and I'll talk about those in a minute, there are very, very clear guidelines on how to know whether it's God. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you one thing. God doesn't make, the enemy does not make you more in love with Jesus. You know what it takes? You know what takes great faith? To believe the Bible. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and they run from a stranger." We need to do a lot more stranger running.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you just, you know, think of it. I want you to do that. Let's close our eyes for a minute. We're going to start doing some activation here, and I'm going to share something. I want you to ask the Lord. Again, I want you to have faith. Oh, I'm gonna release it right now. I just increase a spirit of wisdom and revelation upon you so that you can know Jesus better.
Amen.
Now I just want you to ask the Lord. And by the way, if it comes quick and you don't know if it's you, test it later. This is why it's good to maybe even write it down. We're gonna do that. If you can take out your phones, get a piece of paper. You're not saying it's God yet, you're gonna test it later. Now, this is a very, very important principle we learned years ago. When you're hearing, the first thing isn't to test and evaluate what you hear. The first thing is to hear. So you have to take time to hear. So let it flow. Then afterwards, you test it. How do you know it's the Lord? Right away, your heart starts to beat a little faster. You start to have faith, hope. You start to feel stirred, right? Ask the Lord right now, what hinders me from hearing your voice? What What's an obstacle or two in my life that hinders me from seeking revelation? All right, you can raise up your hand. Anybody get anything? Mm-hmm. Raise hands if you did. Raise a half a hand if you think you might have. Raise a hand if it was really hard. You hardly got anything. Anyone? Okay. By the way, this is very important, and it's okay. You keep practicing. So this is what I did on the airplane. I thought, well, I'll do exactly what I'm asking them to do, and I'm going to share it with you, and then I'm going to ask you to do what I did. Why is it better to write it down first? Because you can't remember it. Because you can't test something you can't remember. And also, you now want to go to the scriptures. So if the Lord's saying, I want to pour my love into your heart, I can go to Romans 5:5 that says, the Spirit pours the love of God into our hearts. There's a verse right there. It says it. The thing I did then and I still do is I tell the Lord, I want to know your heart and your will and your purposes. Mm-hmm. I want you to uncover and unmask anything that is hindering me from seeing and hearing clearly. Once you start to get this, what do? You just ask for more revelation. For example, I heard the Lord say to me, your greatest obstacle in this season is busyness and distractions. That's what he told me. So I asked the Lord to give me wisdom and revelation today on the plane. Notice I'm not just giving you a message. I'm showing you what to do in your quiet time. Just start asking questions. I said, Lord, give me more revelation. I'm busy, I'm distracted. What do you want to say to me? So this is what I did, and by the way, I started nearly crying on the airplane. I wonder what the people next to me were thinking, because Ann and I were separated because we changed the flight late. And this is what the Lord said about busyness and distractions. My son, I love you so much. Really? He wants to start there. Mm-hmm. He does that all the time. He wants to start and tell me how much you love me. I used to tell the Lord, why do you just want to talk to me about how much you love me? And he said, well, when you finally believe it and it's really deep in your heart, then maybe we could talk about something else. He says, I yearn to heal and pour my heart into you. I long for you more than you long for me. I'm holding you right now. Can you receive my love today? This is a season of prosperity. And I'm going to give you the riches of my Spirit so that you can mentor many in the kingdom. This is why your busyness and distractions need to be reduced. Ask me for my priorities. Let's make to-do lists together. Then he said this, let's dream together. I have so much to show you. That was fun. Mm-hmm. There I was on the plane, encountering the Lord, simply because I wanted to know what was on his heart. Now, do you think that was God? Does that sound like God?
Yeah.
How do I know? Well, first of all, I felt his love and the flow of the Spirit, but I also looked for the fruit of the word in my heart. What is the results? Was God condemning me or shaming me? You're too busy. Stop that. That's what I would have said to myself if I was journaling to myself, you know. I would have beat myself up really good first.
Yeah.
But God just gave me encouragement. And what did he make the point? The point was, I have so much more to give you. This is going to be so exciting. We're going to dream together. You guys don't know, but I am going through a huge transition. I want to mentor thousands. Thousands. And now through technology, we can do mentoring in a whole different way. And I'm working with the man that worked with John Maxwell. I'm going to learn how to really help raise up people in the body of Christ. So I got a lot of dreaming with God to do. You know, I want you to try this. Just start writing in faith. If you see a picture, then ask the Lord, what does it mean? If it's hard for you and you're just saying, I can't get into this, then just put down the stuff and don't, just say, Lord, I just want to experience your love. I mean, but if you want it, what I want to try to do is I want you to now take the next step in, because I'm just trying to mentor you and what you'll do when you ask God a question. You hear, okay, you're too busy, or whatever. He says, you're busy. And he didn't say that to me, you're too busy. He says, your busyness and distractions, right? So, did you guys write down anything the first time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you didn't, start again. And I just want you to come and let's just go ahead right now and ask the Lord to speak to us. Mm-hmm.